Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. Welcome. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. We've got a great triple header today. Gilad Jankiewicz, he's one of the world's most popular fitness personalities and pioneers, the creator of Gilad's Bodies in Motion, the longest-running national fitness show on location from Hawaii. He'll be joining me. And then returning, we've got Dr. Denise McDermott. She's a holistic adult and child psychiatrist. She's an author, podcaster. She's also a contributor to my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. She wrote this excellent article, Youth Athletics for Mind Medicine for Life. Susan Semmer also is going to be joining us. She's a prominent filmmaker and producer. She's the writer and documentary director of the upcoming Beyond the Game. And she'll be joining Dr. Denise and I because these two ladies have joined forces to give big attention to the whole world of mental health and sports. You know what a big deal the mental game is on the Sports Doctor. First, let's welcome Gilad Jankiewicz to the Sports Doctor. Hello, Gilad.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I am fine. Gilad, we're catching him from Israel, but his show, which started like in 1983, Bodies in Motion, takes place in Hawaii. Give us a little bit of background, Gilad, of you and your long career in the world of fitness.
All right. So I started out actually as a track and field athlete. I competed in the decathlon. I was Israel's decathlon record holder back in the mid-70s. Came out to the United States to train in California at UCLA with a gentleman who was the world record holder in the late 60s, a gentleman by the name of Russ Hodge, who was the world record holder in the decathlon. I trained under him for a while, then tore my Achilles tendon. So as a change of course, so to speak, my dream was to get to the Olympics in 1980, but that dream, obviously, I could not fulfill because of a really bad injury that I sustained on my Achilles. So I started looking for something else to do, and I was good at teaching exercise.
I think it was 1983. When Bodies in Motion first aired on the networks. I remember years and years ago watching his exercise show. And one of our questions, of course, Gilad is a member of the National Fitness Hall of Fame, and he was honored at along with my induction ceremony this past April for having the longest running national fitness show on location. And he talks a lot about the whole idea of staying in shape and fitness. And we used to always ask him again, how did he land that gig being in Hawaii? And I hope we can get him back and talk more about not only his Bodies in Motion show all these years. Okay, well, we got cut off when you had that nasty Achilles tendon injury. You decided to do something else. You were a good teacher of exercise, so I guess somehow you landed in Hawaii.
Landed in Hawaii, got a job offer there at the Honolulu Club. Talked there for a couple of years, exercise as well as worked with their instructors with workshops and things like that. And again, destiny, call it as you will, I had a chance to do a fitness show outdoors. And I grabbed it and ran with it. We shot our first show in 1983. We were able to take the show to several different states, Texas, Nevada, California. And then in 1985, we were signed up by the sports channel, ESPN, as their first fitness show ever on the main channel. You know, back then it was only ESPN 1. And we had an 11-year run on ESPN, then on Fox Sports, and then for the last 15 years on Discovery Health. And we're still active. We're still seen on JLTV and, you know, across the country on cable.
You know, I mentioned also when we got interrupted, you know, basic training, the workout, total body sculpting
right.
with Gilad. What's the website, Gilad, that the best one that people could find out about your show and your videos?
It's actually bodiesinmotionwithgilad.com. And to make it simple,
with
for
Gilad,
those who can't spell my name, yeah. Body, Gilad, G-I-L-A-D.
Fantastic. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor.
If people are having a hard time spelling it, then the easiest way is to go gilad.tv. It's GILAD.TV. Takes you right to the website.
You know, it's interesting with the incredible popularity of exercise today, and it's for many of us remembering back the 25 to 30-something years when it was a whole different story. I've always considered you to be a real educator. Again, in getting the population in all aspects to realize how important it is to keep moving, and the attention you paid to nutrition and that other side. I want to talk to you more about all of that in a second. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. You can go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You go over to radio shows. Again, you could probably go back to 2010. Well, before, I think before that, we were on Reel to Reel, and you could see who was on, what the topics are, listen to whatever you would like. You could go over to newspaper articles and magazines and read an whole array of articles, whether it's choosing the best shoe for your son or daughter, information about my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, one of my most popular dash infamous articles, which is Women and High Heels, Accepting the Challenge. And you can follow us on Twitter. We have over 30,000 followers on Twitter. I can't tell you how many guests we get on Twitter at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. We're talking from Israel with Gilad Janklowitz, one of the true pioneers and champions of fitness. Again, getting that ESPN connection, you know, gigantic, really, to say the least. And what have been some of the challenges along the way regarding the education of exercise and fitness, you know, with a reluctant medical community, a stationary community? What have been some of the challenges?
Well, great question. And you know, I think, you know, we can relate back when I came to the United States in the mid-70s. There weren't that many gyms around. In fact, it was still sort of a niche. Now there's a gym on every corner, on every street corner, there's a gym. I've seen a tremendous change over the last, you know, 35, 40 years, with the awareness of fitness, health, nutrition, all of the different elements of, you know, healthy lifestyle. And it's just amazing to watch how it's blossomed. I mean,
right. You know, our organization, Gilad, our organization, the National Fitness Hall of Fame, paying such big attention to that very area. And again, you mentioned something which I talk about all the time on the Sports Doc. You know, there's a gym on every corner. There's a physical therapist everywhere you look. However, one of the biggest discussions I've had over the decades, whether it's childhood obesity or obesity, is as big a problem today in the United States almost as it's ever been. And I find that to be still so perplexing. With all the advancement, it's sort of like we're treading water.
Well, it's interesting because I think that together with the fact that the fitness industry has expanded with what it has to offer the public, at the same time, don't forget that the internet has you know, revolutionized how people operate on a daily basis, and especially the younger generation, which is, you know, on Twitter and on Instagram and on Facebook. And you look at kids 2 years old, they're already running around punching their phones, you know, looking for material. And I think that is the that's the problem today, is that on the one side, we have a fitness industry who's has amazing amounts of information to share with the public. But at the same time, you have still a lot of junk food and a lot of, you know, awareness of young people, especially not being aware of healthy choices and the ability to do everything with your phone and with your finger. So
yeah, we're battling with our population too, Gilad, with keeping physical education or PE in schools. We're battling in the world of nutrition in the food industry. You can't turn on the television for 5 minutes. If you're not watching drug commercials in the United States, you're watching diet commercials. And this, again, is this tremendous challenge, including, again, like what you're mentioning with the children and the fact of this, you know, good luck to all of us with the world of social media. You know what I mean? This is just such a tremendous, tremendous challenge. How have you seen the cooperation of the medical community and the international community? I mean, how many different countries have seen Bodies in Motion, for example?
Well, in the heyday of ESPN, ESPN reached somewhere like 84 different countries worldwide. So Europe, South America, the Far East. So the exposure has been tremendous. Also beyond that, too, through the 2000, through Discovery as well, the show's been all over. I mean, the problem we have, I think, specifically for us in the United States is that we have, you know, a fantastic offering from the fitness industry, but at the same token, we also have, you know, the worst that we can get, and that is a lot of junk food, a lot of you know, people have to really want to do something to be able to do it, but it's available for them to do. That's the issue. It's a contrast between what's available to us to be able to do versus the other side of the coin, which is you know, being lazy, not going out, not doing activities, not having the type of sports facilities that we'd like to have in the schools, perhaps, and things like that. So it's
well,
a
dilemma. That's why I always ask fitness champions like yourself, Gilad, and people who are in the sports medicine world and the fitness world. I always ask, of course, how your psychology and sports psychology skills are, because it is you know, such a mental challenge. You know, I think everybody knows, Gilad, that junk food is not good. Fast food is not good. I think what's fooled everybody over the years is the so-called good old American diet that everybody thought was very healthy, and then, or at least we assumed it was, and it ends up that it's not that at all. And people have really, really had to learn how to eat smarter. I know you pay big attention to nutrition as part of your world, don't you?
Absolutely. And, you know, for me, I come across that every single day with people that are, you know, tuning into the show and ask questions with personally with people that I come across. And I think that, you know, the main challenge really is the information that we have out there can be sometimes, you know, you get two different pieces of information on the same issue. And I think what the whole issue with nutrition is that it's very simple. Stay with simple, you know, foods. Don't overeat. Stay away from canned foods as much as possible. Stay away from sugary foods. Stay away from processed foods. Those are very, very simple choices that every
person... It's the new medicine, Vlad. It's the new medicine. It's number one, eat smarter, probably, and eat less.
Right.
And number two, stay active. You know, as a pioneer, a champion of fitness, what is the mixture? We've probably got a few minutes left. What's the mixture of the best exercise that you like to get people involved in? You know, you talk about cardio, you talk about strength training. You mix it all up, don't you?
Absolutely. And I think the variety is the best way to go. I myself participate in all different activities, starting from cardio, running, swimming, strength training, teaching classes, yoga, Pilates. I do it all because I enjoy it. Bicycle riding. So I kind of, you know, and I think that for every person, the more variety you can add to your fitness program, the better results you're going to get. Of course, you have people that like to, you know, specifically do bodybuilding or specifically swim, then they have to focus on those sports. I personally enjoy all sports. So I call it my own personal cross-training program. I do a little bit of everything. But I'm in the gym, and I'm outdoors, and I'm swimming, and I'm bicycling, and I'm doing all that. And when I come across people, I motivate them to find, first of all, find an activity that you really like to do and that you know that you're going to stick to it. And second of all, try to make it consistent. You know, make it part of your day or part of your week. And then from there, you can go on. So, for example, if somebody is a good tennis player and he enjoys playing tennis, so he plays tennis twice a week, he can then, in order to increase his ability to tennis, he should do a couple of cardio workouts a week, maybe strength training, and then, of course, he can improve his tennis game as well. So that's how I tend to approach people. Say, find an activity that you like and build your program around that as a base.
Yes, if you don't like it, you won't stick with it. Old Spore, the late Dr. Jim Vickery, who shared the radio with me for years, used to talk about, if people think fitness is a drill, they ain't going to do it, was one of his famous statements regarding that. When were you inducted into the National Fitness Hall of Fame, Gilad?
2007.
Wow. Again, a great organization, yes. Our friend John Figarelli,
yes.
Who's at it every day,
yeah,
keeping people active.
I think he's doing a great job.
Almost out of time, yeah. Gilad. Give me the best website again that people could find out about you and your programs.
Okay, Gilad.tv. So www.gilad.tv. Gilad spelled G-I-L-A-D.
It's been a pleasure to have you. Gilad, hold on quickly. Everybody, we're going to be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Thank you, Gilad Jankelowitz. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kids. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parent's perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key
clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505. Or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. I think we're coming, going from Israel to the West Coast. I want to welcome back Dr. Denise McDermott. She's a holistic adult and child psychiatrist. She's an author, podcaster. She's a contributor to my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. She wrote that excellent article on youth athletics from Mind Medicine for Life. And also joining us, Susan Sember, and she is a filmmaker, producer. She's a former entertainment and sports lawyer, and she's involved in this exciting documentary coming up, Beyond the Game. And these gals have teamed up to pay attention to this incredible world of mental health and sports and all of its wonderment. Welcome, Dr. Denise and Susan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. Thank you for your show and having us here and spending this time with you today.
Terrific. I thought we went, again, we'll just have our conversational tone. We've got 3 8-minute segments. Why don't we start initially, Denise, talk a little bit about your excitement about the collaboration with Susan's excellent documentary, Beyond the Game, coming up.
So Susan is a kindred spirit, much like I am with you, Dr. Bob. I think that we all realize that athletes, influencers, have such an important role in cohesion and discussing topics like our inner world and inner peace. And so the work that Susan and I are doing, we've been on a similar trajectory for the last 4 years. I've been building my Dr. Denise brand in the world, and also meeting with athletes, meeting with people like yourself on these shows, contributing to books, podcasts. And Susan Sember's incredible documentary, which I would love for her to tell you about, is really like a parallel process of what I'd like the world to hear about with mental health via peer-to-peer discussions with athletes, coaches, and owners.
Yes, the mental game is a big deal for decades on my show, The Sports Doctor. You know, when I introduce my book, I talk about the epidemic of overuse injuries in youth sports, both physical and mental. Susan, let's have you talk about, please, your input regarding Beyond the Game and what you're really looking to pay attention to.
Certainly. Beyond the Game is a film that covers the transition of professional athletes as well as student athletes and retired athletes. Intimate interviews with the athletes sharing in their own words, stories about transition on a variety of subjects, financial literacy, social media, branding, education, developing entrepreneurship efforts, social give back, activism, community service. But what's interesting, in every single interview, there's always a mental health component. And so whether they're talking about the management of their finances or whether they're talking about being on social media and going from being a media darling to being cyber bullied, there's always that component of mental health at the root of everything. And so many of the athletes that we spoke with talked about the anxiety or depression, adult ADHD. And so I am just thrilled to have connected with Denise so that we can merge our messages and our
platform. You know, you use a key word. You use a key word, Susan. You said transition. Many times,
yes.
I've had the world of psychology and other aspects. As a matter of fact, Dr. Denise participated when we would talk about the difficulty, again, of a retired athlete, like, what am I going to do with myself? Or
right.
We're talking about an athlete who's trying to come back from a potential career-ending injury. Or, again,
yes.
We're talking about the pressure for scholarships and this crazy world of youth sports and some of these kinds of pressures. And I really think it's terrific that you're really bringing this to the forefront, because a lot of times you don't realize that a lot of these superstars are people, aren't they?
Yes, exactly. And all of those transitional scenarios that you just mentioned are, of course, covered in the film. And I think the film will also humanize, as you said, they're people, and humanize what athletes go through. They're not always to be envied, for sure.
There's no doubt about it. It's a tremendous challenge. Again, and your film and Dr. Denise has talked about, you know, the one out of millions who become a professional athlete in any of our major sports, the Olympics or any of our professional leagues, and the one out of hundreds of thousands who become scholarship players or these kinds of things. And sometimes these extreme pressures become very, very difficult, and it pays tremendous importance to pay big attention to what I call the mental game, Dr. Denise, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and we've discussed this before. We know that 50% of lifelong mental health issues begin before age 14 and 75% before age 24, and so oftentimes our athletes are funneled into their sport at such a young age, and we know exercise and good nutrition is great for mental health, but also having a diverse sense of identity and also not being ashamed to talk about your inner world is something that I feel like athletes, coaches, and parents, we can all do better in educating our children at a very young age and our players and making this transition and having what I call being in your own top 1% based on your neurostyle and the way you process things. Whether you have a diagnosis or you're just going through a mental identity struggle, we need to get positive words that encourage people to have new discussions about mental health.
Oh, plus the challenges of winning, the competition. You know, sometimes people mix up the fact that competitive sports aren't necessarily about health and fitness. They're about competitive sports. Susan, I would expect that your background as an entertainment and sports law attorney must have really become something that was very valuable as you got into all aspects of your project.
It absolutely was. I think having a background
I hope we didn't lose Susan.
I'm here.
Okay. Did we lose Susan? Okay, maybe he'll try to get her back. But again, you know, like Dr. Nice, you're talking again about all aspects. Susan, do we have you back? Denise, we have, right?
Yes, I'm here. So with regard to what Susan was going to say, I know she'll join us. And I know from working with her, her background, first of all, she's a Midwesterner. She's from Michigan. I'm from Schaumburg, Illinois. So hello, shout out to Chi-Town. So she and I are both Midwesterners. But she, her ability to have sort of what I'd call even a holistic wraparound approach. I know that she played field hockey growing up, and she's an attorney, a sports entertainment attorney, and she has many different documentaries. So I feel like her greater mind has a global understanding of how to discuss and be strategic with talking with owners and coaches and players. And I feel like she brings to the table such a unique perspective. It's like so exciting to have met her.
Thank you, Denise. Yes, that's very nice.
Yeah, Susan, you was before we had a little bit of an interruption. How has been the cooperation, Susan, with the various professional leagues and the colleges? I know you've paid big attention to the college world. How's the cooperation and excitement been with those relationships?
Thank you. It's extremely cooperative. I believe that all feel that these are messages and information that need to be shared and will be beneficial to be shared. And the attention and the feedback about the film has been so positive that many of the associations are going to use the film to show to rookies, as well as retired players associations and alumni chapters. Along with, we have a college tour coming up with over 80 universities across the nation. We'll also be showing the film for outreach purposes.
You know, when Dr. Denise was talking about that, again, you guys are Midwesterners. So again, like she gave us a shout out here to Chicago, and the fact that you were an athlete as a kid, Sue.
Yes, I did do some, not a whole lot. I'm a pre-Title IX woman, and so also being an aspiring attorney, I think I probably spent more time competitively.
Talk about mental challenges.
Talk about mental challenges,
right? If you're a pre-Title IX girl athlete, who knows what kind of stories you must have. You know, what was that old story? You know, we've come a long way, baby. right. We're going to be back with you guys. BeyondTheGameFilm.com is the website to check that out. And we're going to be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can zip over to radio shows. Gosh, you can go back to 2010. If I could find the reels-to-reels, you can go back 10, 15 years before that. You could see the myriad of fabulous guests we've had, the endless amount of topics, sports medicine, fitness, wellness, listen to whatever you'd like. You can go over to newspaper articles and magazines and read all sorts of different articles on so many different topics. My latest guest editorial, my newest sponsor, LER Magazine, Lower Extremity Review, where we talk about, again, the team approach
of dealing with all aspects, whether it's youth sports or sports medicine. We're joined by Dr. Denise McDermott. She's a adult and child holistic psychiatrist. Susan Sember, she is the filmmaker and the documentary director of Beyond the Game. We're talking about all aspects that go into the mental game, as I call it, whatever the sport happens to be at whatever level. Susan, when is the documentary going to be available?
It will be released commercially in October. It will be, it has a long life of theatrical, video on demand, DVD and Blu-ray, as well as broadcast and in-flight entertainment releases. And then, as I mentioned, the college tour also kicks off later this fall with universities all over the country, middle schools and high schools, too. So there will be plenty of opportunities.
Maybe I could swing out to University of Louisville, my alma mater. If you're not going there already, you want to name drop a couple of names that maybe participated in the in Beyond the Game that you were excited about?
Oh, sure. Wow. It's a lot because, as I mentioned, 150 athletes. But Hall of Famer, someone right there in your neighborhood, Mike Ditka, is in the film. Also, Hall of Famer Floyd Little from Syracuse University and great Denver Bronco. The Newhouse brothers from Dallas of the NFL. Nick Lowry, a kicker, former kicker of the NFL. New rookie draftee, Houston Texan from the University of Michigan, Karan Higdon. I could just go on.
It's a who's who. It's a who's who. And again, the observation that you had regarding all of these commonalities and challenges in the world of sports, again, whether it is the financial craziness, hey, you got $20 million tomorrow, good luck to you, that kind of a situation. Or, again, the idea of after somebody's career, or the challenge in the world of sports parenting. This is a, youth sports is a $15 billion a year industry, and it comes with the crazy stresses and all of these other kinds of pressures. Of course, in your world of adult and child psychiatry, Dr. Denise, which is why I cornered you to contribute to the book, the aspect of the adult, the family unit, all of these things, it's a big deal, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I feel really fortunate. I played varsity soccer all 4 years as a goalie. I had the opportunity to play in college. And so I feel like I have a relatability with my patient athletes, and I work with all ages. I'm in Manhattan Beach, so I've worked with Olympic athlete families in all the different sports here in my neck of the woods, volleyball, hockey, baseball, you know, Hall of Famers, family members. And so whether it's male or female, there's so many different issues. There's issues with, do I sign with this university? What's the coach dynamic? Am I being ostracized? For women, a big issue is, you know, if they're playing volleyball, like their weight. I've had like these exceptional girl athletes, and they might have a weight gain before their growth spurt, and then how can I wear that little outfit? So anything from eating disorders, and then a lot of people are really bright with ADHD. Like, what dose of medicine do I take that's the sweet spot that I can academically perform and also play my sport? Some people have a lot of, you know, OCD, depression. Some people just come to me for wellness.
Former soccer player, you must have been all excited with the World Cup. Wasn't that incredible?
Oh my gosh.
Maybe you guys could get on the bandwagon. What about, you know, about the whole equal pay? Even that pressure, which is right now on top of all of us, this whole different area regarding, you know, women's sports and all of those challenges. I mean, everywhere you look, there's aspects of some of these different, you know, mental challenges. And the I'm sure, Susan, that, again, some of the things you mentioned even early what were some of the common concerns that you got feedback from all of these different athletes, coaches? What were some of the common challenges and concerns that were bounced off you?
One being that the pressures of the sports world are being put upon children at such an early age. Baseball agents told me, as an example, that kids that are in sixth grade are being looked at and recruited by colleges, and they're already being scouted. So the subtleties and the nuances and the ramifications of a life in sports, potentially as a college athlete or as a professional athlete, are becoming...
You know, the craziness.
Earlier.
The famous Tommy John surgery. Everybody's familiar with the elbow Tommy John surgery,
right?
Originated with Dr. Job years ago. And some of my orthopedic friends have told me that 20% of the Tommy John surgery today is on teenagers.
Yes.
And again, overkill, overuse.
Yeah.
One of the most important chapters in my book is called Youth, Sports, and Drugs, where we have this tremendous pressure to play over the counter. It's caused me, ladies, to rename performance-enhancing drugs. Are you ready?
Yes.
And the renaming is performance surviving. This tremendous pressure to play hurt. This tremendous pressure to come. But Dr. Weil, my daughter's got a competition. She takes two Advil before she plays, et cetera, et cetera. And no wonder we've got a nightmare with pain pills and opioids in our country. And again, falls right back, Dr. Denise, into your lap. Many times these kinds of pressures, you know, for parents or coaches, it's such a big business that these challenges could be overwhelming.
Well, and I've also, with some of my, Some of my friends that are professional athletes have actually told me that once their parents found out how good they were and they were going to make millions, they stopped checking their homework. And they almost like forgot how smart they were. And so I think there's so many different levels to this with, I know you have to meet a certain GPA just to play, but then, you know, you have this sometimes parents living vicariously through the children, and it's just a lot of dynamics.
Whose goal is
it?
Goal is it? We're going to come back in a second. Dr. Denise, give us your website. People could find out about your book and your podcast quickly.
Great. DrDeniseMD.com, DrDeniseMD.com. And then I have the Dr. Denise Show on iTunes and on my site. And I'm going to have you in August on my show, Dr. Bob.
Yes. Bingo bango. We'll be right back. We'll talk more about it. It's the Sports Doctor.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
We are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, and I'm speaking to this dynamic duo, Dr. Denise McDermott, Susan Sember, and we're talking about their collaboration on this exciting upcoming Beyond the Game documentary as far as its whole subject and topics that it involves. coming out sometime in this fall, in October. And we were talking again about the cooperation of some of the leagues and some of the different players and the challenges, you know, from A to Z. One of the main ones being, again, like Dr. Denise just mentioned, parental pressure. That's fascinating that maybe that when a mom and dad realizes how good an athlete their son or daughter is, maybe they don't check their homework or pay as much attention. Maybe they're counting the money that they might be thinking they might be making. Of course, it's one out of millions, and I think this is something that is a tremendous challenge. Of course, Susan, your documentary deals a lot with these people who already have made it. They've all been involved in this world. And again, the combination with their charities, with the entertainment that these athletes might be taking part in, the teams, et cetera, that background, again, in entertainment and sports law, had to really pay a big part in your thinking regarding putting this together.
Thank you. Yeah. So I think it's just the art of storytelling, you know, really caring about people and letting them share in their own words the messages that they want to get across to their peers and audiences.
Yes. And I think, again, the idea, again, I keep referencing the mental game in all aspects of what it means. Again, on the Sports Doctor, where I've had experts on talking again about eating disorders, the pressure of that young gymnast or young figure skater. You know, didn't I tell you to lose that weight? And this kinds of craziness. Or, again, the idea that, you know, don't tell me this overscheduling. Even the expense of this. About a month ago, I had a financial person again talking about the tremendous pressure on families with the traveling teams and some of these other aspects. And then there's the crazy world of overzealous, I call them Svengali coaches. You know, nobody has to explain to us the nightmare of some of these team coaches and team doctors that we've watched. You know, this is a real serious situation, Dr. Denise, in a lot of aspects, isn't it, with these crazy coaches and parental pressures?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I just interviewed Mika Maley-Karros on my podcast that launched yesterday, and she said that one of her coaches gave her less than 5 minutes to run to her dorm and back with a water bottle open where she couldn't spill it or some unbelievable thing. And so over time, she just had a lot of like different styles of with different coaches, and I want to take this away from her. I mean, I remember a coach, like if I was the goalie, it was 95-degree heat. They told my coach said, don't let anyone score on you. Then she told them all, you guys can't drink water until you score.
Right.
And so
this idiocy.
Literally happened. It was 95-degree heat. And I'm like, I know I have to play my best goalie, but I'm keeping my friends from, like, drinking water, my teammates.
Yes. A year doesn't,
so, I mean, these,
year
these
doesn't go
happen.
By.
Right. These things happen.
A year doesn't
happen.
Go by where there's not these stories of these kinds of overuses. And again, in the world of these wonderful parents, it's not more than a month ago in Colorado, a 7 and 8 year olds playing baseball, 13-year-old referee, and parents getting into a brawl and a melee over the particular game, you know, whatever was going on. So again, the back to my book, you know, the epidemic of overuse injuries, mental as well as physical, such a big, big problem. And I guess, Susan, as you really are featuring, even with these superstars and many of these great, great players, they lived through and got through how to deal with a lot of this stuff. And in some instances, it's still dealing with it, right?
That's right. And, you know, one of the things that they kept saying over and over and over, don't worry as much about getting a sports scholarship if that's your goal. Think about an academic scholarship because there are a lot more academic scholarships available, and concentrate students on your education. And parents, keep in mind that very minimal percentage that are actually going to go to pro And even if they go to pro, they all reference the ones in football. NFL is not for long. You're going to have to do something afterwards. No matter who you are, be a well-rounded person,
yes,
individual.
Let alone. Here's one of the great dilemmas of our society, ladies. What are we going to do about youth tackle football and that whole world of concussions, what we know now mentally, and those kinds of situations? This is really, really a great dilemma, and I really don't have the answer for it, with some of these different challenges, especially in the world of concussions. I imagine, Dr. Denise, that you will also probably deal with aspects of that in your practice.
Absolutely. I've had people have post-concussion syndrome. I've had girl soccer players from heading the ball. My first interview on my podcast was with MMA fighter Gary Goodrich, who's actually in the movie The Hurt Business. They're studying his brain and MRIs over time, and he's actually my good friend now. And so the one thing I want to tell you that I believe is we're living in a time of taglines, kind of like stop, drop, and roll. And so my answer to you is educate, but protect your brain. I wrote a blog post on it, and I talk with my son, and we teach our children protect your brain. That's what, how much substances they use, how much injuries they get, how many concussions. So we don't want to villainize things, but we have to give our youth the data, because they're out there playing sports and winning games without really being fully educated on what could happen over time. And I think if we come at it from a protect your brain and educate, I think we're going to have a lot of prevention. And I think we'll be able to learn a lot more from the athletes who've suffered, and we can do better.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think these situations, again, of post-injury and the challenges of athletes who are injured and coming back from these injuries, the pressure to come back maybe before they might be ready to do that, is something that, again, is one of the biggest challenges, not only in youth sports, but in all aspects of serious sports, especially when you're talking about, again, you mentioned colleges and the money sports, the football and basketball, where you have incredible pressures in that regard. I mean, who knows that better than you, right, Susan, if you're a Michigan alum? Right?
Absolutely. And
the
I was
big
also
blue.
Going to say, yes, and, you know, several of the athletes in this film and in another film that I worked on involving post-concussion syndrome highlight that there is a culture where athletes are really pressured to hide injury and to not come forth and even to, you know, seek treatment over the state lines and,
yes,
you know, try
all kinds
of things.
A big problem for teams.
It
you know,
is.
You have youth kids are scared to admit it. You know, the great Brian Urlacher of the Chicago Bears, he was tongue-in-cheek, but he said, you know, if I got my bell rung, I would say to them on the sidelines, I think my foot hurts, you know, so they wouldn't take them out of the game.
Hmm.
It sounds ridiculous, but it is something that is a part of reality. It's not that many years ago when on the sidelines they'd say, how many fingers? Are almost out of time here. BeyondTheGameFilm.com is the website to find out more about the film. Again, Sue Sember, so thank you so much. Dr.
Thank
Denise,
you.
Give me your website quick.
DrDeniseMD.com, Dr. Bob.
DrDeniseMD.com. Thank you, Gal, so much. What a fantastic, informative educational segment. Hold on for a quickie second. Everybody will be back. It's the Sports Doctor. See you next week.